Greetings and a bodaciously delicious hello to you from rainy Vancouver, where the action never stops even as we change our socks. Although now the action is rain and, according to the forecast, more rain. Oh, yes, we are heading to summer. I just don't know when. Anyway, this is Tom and I'm coming at you at hair-blowing speed with the April 2012 issue of Tomicide Solutions, mysteriously entitled Human Resources Management Confusion, Demanding Excellence from People versus Creating a Culture of Excellence. I don't know if you know about it, but on average there are 178 sesame seeds in each McDonald's Big Mac bun, which seems to be pretty reasonable on the surface. But the reason why this is a problem is because the human body can't digest sesame seeds. The body struggles, investing significant amount of energy, but keeps losing. And in a rather oddball way, this is what's happening in many IT companies, business development departments. Management keeps demanding excellence and peak performance, but excellence and peak performance are missing from the department's cultural DNA. Management doesn't practice excellence. It's somehow not part of their operation. The reality is that when you merely demand excellence from others, you are unlikely to get it. After all, it's just a demand, like ordering your goldfish to ride a bicycle. It won't happen. But when you immerse merely good people in the culture of excellence, those people will quote-unquote drown in excellence and become the reflection of their environment. You don't manipulate the person, but the environment and the culture. So what is the problem here? Well, it's hard to create a culture of excellence. To do that, you need to be a real leader and your people have to have the mentality of leaders. This problem is nicely demonstrated in the societal dogma that past performance is the best predictor of future performance. I think this is nonsense. For example, a shark is a peak performer in water, but put a bullet in his head and hang him upside down in a freezer, his performance as a predator will be seriously hampered, to say the least. And this is as much of an understatement as calling Mount Everest a sizable speed bump. Or look at many highly successful entrepreneurs and the number of companies they had been fired from before starting their businesses. The reason is almost always the same. They are branded as lazy, incompetent idiots with seriously compromised or non-existing work ethics. Why? Because most companies are Orwellian, Big Brother-driven dictatorships that expect blind obedience but despise ambition, enthusiasm and initiative. This is why the school system has to work so damn hard to brainwash students and beat every shred of ambition, enthusiasm and initiative out of them so they can become Big Brother's dutiful little minions behind the flimsy shields of so-called safe and secure jobs. Well, we all know that safe and secure jobs don't exist anymore. There's a bit more job security for union laborers and government stooges, but realistically, the concept doesn't exist. Or look at another problem. You're recruiting a new person for your company and the person you're interviewing has had 10 jobs in the last 3 years. Your HR person will scream, "Job hopper!" But is she really? Maybe, maybe not. Hell knows. As an entrepreneur, you know how the production system works to produce Big Brother minions. So you think maybe this person is just smart enough to recognize when she is duped by deceptive hiring methods and phony offers and quits before it's too late. Maybe she's just a trusting person who fell for some attractive looking job offers, and after a few weeks on the job she realized that everything she had been told about the company was a big, fat, juicy lie. The company was a real shithole, and in comparison to her manager, Hitler was the proverbial Mother Teresa. A swear ship for the skipper, the owner and the executives, but a hair ship for the crew. Now, considering Pareto's 80-20 rule, it's safe to say that 80% of all companies fall into the shithole category. And 80% is a very, very conservative estimate. In reality, I believe it's much, much higher. Anyway, now, she's really a job hopper because she has the self-respect not to work at a company that is run like a concentration camp by some petty tyrants. I've come across quite a few IT companies over the years that should put up a big sign on their front doors: Arbeit macht frei, as it was done on the front gate of the Auschwitz concentration camp, that is, work liberates. I believe that past performance has nothing to do with future performance, but what I equally believe is that past behavior has a lot to do with future behavior, and the impact of the environment is a lot stronger than many people believe. Performance happens when people of certain characters apply their skills in a certain work environment, culture. For instance, take an ultra-successful used car salesman who is hired by a consulting firm and he fails miserably, selling used cars due to the compensation structure and the cutthroat environment requires people who are willing to do anything for money. They must be fine with high degree of dishonesty and manipulation to make the sale. Also, they feel comfortable to screw their colleagues out of their commissions to make more for themselves. Backstabbing is a daily practice, starting with management at every level. That's what the car industry is famous for. So this car salesman is hired by a consulting firm, an ethical, collegial, team-driven culture that truly believes in serving clients, not merely taking their money. His devious and shady character and ability to sweet-talk clients out of their money were a great asset in the car dealership, a predominantly immoral and unethical culture, but now they are liabilities. In the consulting firm, he's expected to be a straight shooter, and he can't do that. He's never practiced that. Throughout his life, he's been an excellent peddler. But he couldn't be a trusted advisor even if you put a gun to his head. He can pitch used cars, but he can't diagnose complex big business situations. And his inability has nothing to do with the lack of skills. It's his character that made him a star in the corrupt, self-centered and client-antagonistic environment at the car dealership. So although he was the number one car salesperson at the car dealership, and he was his manager's favorite for his super-aggressive closing skills and outstanding performance, he's a total disaster at the consulting firm, and the practice leader is contemplating suicide for the mistake of hiring this guy. And this leads us to the three ingredients of performance. I think performance is about applying specific skills in a specific environment while operating within our core values. That's character. Under skills, you can list everything you've learned over the years. Yes, you can be. It can be academic knowledge and all the practical expertise you learned over the years. But this is not all. List everything you've been involved with with some interest over the years. List all the magazines and newspapers you've ever read on a regular basis. Make a list of every kind of work you've ever done, regardless of how long and when. List all the various groups you've belonged to, networking groups, even church group, whatever group you belong to. List all your schooling, training, education. If you served in the military, list that too. Some experts regard the military as the best business school on the planet. Oh, one of those experts, as I heard a few years ago, is Tom Peters. I've heard this from him too. List all the hobbies you've ever done. List 5 areas where you were really knowledgeable, but most people don't know about it. Include topics that you have a number of books on, have invested time and money in to learn. List all products and services that you've ever really know well. Divide up your life onto some stage brackets for every decade, let's say, and find 2 or 3 success stories for every decade. What were the most significant success stories for each decade? How did you feel about those achievements? Many people make the mistake of believing that only what they've learned in school is real knowledge. Well, considering how screwed up the school system is and what its purpose is, that's probably the least significant contributor. Teachers may disagree. Now, the next one is character. Character is basically your core values, and everything you do is driven by this factor. For instance, your accountant may be the best accountant in the vicinity, but if he's a notorious liar, then his excellent accounting skills will be overshadowed by his habit of misrepresenting the numbers. And since it's the person's DNA, there is not much we can do about it. As the late Jim Rohn put it in one of his seminars, liars lie, cheaters cheat, and the perplexed ones get perplexed. This is the default modus operandi, and we can't change that. You have to have a pretty good idea of what character traits you are seeking in your people, and you'd better focus more on the right character than on the right skills. Because skills can be taught and learned, but character is a given, and there is not a sausage we can do about it. We can't change characters. And since we can't directly manipulate character, we have to manipulate the company's culture. This is the third ingredient. This is the environment in which the person operates. And when the environment's character blends with the person's character, eventually the person gets pretty seriously influenced by the environment's character. This is why so many losers in civilian life excel in the military, and so many corporate losers start their businesses and achieve incredible successes. And the good news is that business owners can shape their business environments by bettering themselves through personal development. But it works the other way around too. But business owners who do nasty and duplicitous deeds in their personal lives are likely to do the same in their businesses too. So inadvertently they create duplicitous environments which cause their people to quit and join the competition. And here is the problem. When they join the competition, although they never directly reveal inside knowledge from their former employers, subconsciously, they use every bit of it to help their current employers to be successful, because now they work there. So the more successful the employer becomes, the more successful they become as individuals. And if that success means sending their former employers to the poorhouse or the bankruptcy court, well, so be it. Using military language, a soldier can't fight for both sides. His job is to vanquish the enemy. Not out of anger, but because he wants his side to win. And who stays? And who stays? The people who know they are not really good at what they do, so they would have a hard time to find a new job. So they stay. So now our business owners are left with the mediocre bunch. And in today's hyper-competitive world, that's not a good idea. People have different response to the work environment. People are free to choose how much they are ready and willing to apply themselves to contribute to their work. And that choice depends on how they are treated. And since a large percentage of the work is invisible brain work, in most cases managers can't even recognize when their people actively disengage from their work. According to the Gallup organization, 59% of employees are disengaged, that is, don't pay attention to their work. What's even worse is that 14% of employees are actively disengaged, that is, actively working on non-work-related activities, often knowingly sabotaging their company's success. According to a survey by the Insurance Journal, more than 50% of North American workers question the morality of their organization's leaders and say their managers treat them poorly. Only 5% of the workforce understands their company's strategy. Less than 15% of North America's employees feel strongly energized and enthused about their work. And we can't even blame the employees. They respond to the examples their managers set through their behavior. Some 60% of organizations don't link budgets to strategy. 86% of executive teams spends less than 1 hour per month discussing strategy. Can you imagine that? They are too busy putting out fires. Now, that can be pretty miserable way of growing a business, but, well, that's the way it goes. In his book, The 8th Habit, Stephen Covey outlines the 6 types of behaviors people show depending on how managers treat them. At the lowest level, people are rebelling and quitting eventually. At the second level, they show malicious obedience. And the third level, they show willing compliance. The fourth level, it's cheerful cooperation. And the fifth level, it's heartfelt commitment. And at the sixth level, it's creative excitement. Now, the interesting thing is that most employees operate in the bottom 3 levels. A diagram below show all the engagement levels. So how people are engaged physically, emotionally, intellectually, and how engaging the work is to the spirit of the person. I've created this diagram from a diagram from Stephen Covey's book, The 8th Habit, but I thought it's important to see this in context. So just click on the image, that will magnify it so you can read everything. So what can be done to re-engage people? First, do these exercises to gain some clarity as to what you'd like to see in your company. Here you see a list of adjectives. So first, underline the 5 adjectives that best describe your company's current culture. And we have pairs like flexible versus rigid, result-focused versus task-focused, and proactive versus reactive, strategic-focused, tactical, business, collaborative environment, competitive environment, results-only work environment versus business-only work environment, participative versus directive, cohesive teams versus individualistic work groups, trusting versus suspicious, quick buck chasing versus long-term thinking, narrow-minded versus open-minded, entrepreneurial versus bureaucratic and political, hesitant versus decisive, relaxed and focused versus agitated and scattered, risk-taking versus risk-allergic, sociable versus status conscious, finance-driven versus technologically driven. And now, using the same pairs of adjectives, underline five words, five adjectives that best describe the company that you want to build, your future company. And these words can serve you as progress indicators on your journey. So if, for example, you see that at the moment your company is risk allergic, then, and you want to turn it into a risk-taking company, just create a continuum, a straight line, plus 10, minus 10. In the middle, you have 0. And from 0 and minus 10, that's risk-allergic. And 0 to plus 10, it's risk-taking. So between 0 and minus 10, just mark up. Where the company is in terms of risk allergic status. It's a bit of a guesswork, but it gives you a picture. And on the other side, between 0 and plus 10, plot out or just mark up where you want to take your company initially within a certain period of time. That you say that at the moment, what is it? April 2012. Our company is minus 6, risk allergic. Within a year, we'd like to become plus 2, risk in risk taking, or plus 3. So that's a fair journey. But at least you can see in front of you all the time that where exactly the company is. And if you can't find the word pairs that would describe your company, just make up your own word pairs. And then you can make a diagram, this continuum thing for each pair. 0 to minus 10, the negative, and 0 to plus 10, the positive. And just mark down where you are, put it on your wall, and then you can see month after month the progress. So that gives you a better idea of where your company is right now. And then from then on, you just have to figure out how to get from A to B. So I don't say it's easy. All I'm saying is that it takes you a tad closer to the kind of business you had in mind when you started your show. So hopefully that helps a little bit. And that was it for April, really. Have a great month. Have a great week. And we'll talk sometimes at the end of May. In the meantime, all the best.